Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. With me in studio is the award-winning songwriter, recording artist, and filmmaker Michael Stillwater, an innovative educator. He catalyzes creative expression in people of all ages, and I'm very happy to have him with us today. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Kara. It's beautiful to be with you.
So, Michael, as we speak, our world is experiencing a global pandemic. Many cities around the world are in lockdown. I'm in Berlin. You're in Helsinki. The show is streaming all over the world. And we're refrained and being asked, we're being asked to refrain from meeting in person, from hugging each other, from sharing meals together. The churches are closed in Berlin. The yoga studios are closed. And even the choirs where we often meet to gather and find comfort and sing together are shut down and closed, at least where I am in Berlin, Germany. And I want to talk today about the transformational power of our voice, how it affects your our lives. And especially what you do so well and what you've been doing for years is you've created chant waves and you've been doing singing circles and you've been really walking into communities, into churches, into those yoga studios and supporting people to discover their own unique voice. What are your thoughts at this time of the importance also of singing together, and how can we deepen that singing practice when so many of us are being asked not to connect in that physical way like we know from chanting in a yoga studio or in being in a choir or sitting in a church together?
Well, it's a very strong question and a powerful question, and all I know is that even when this situation is not happening, that returning inward to be with one's own voice is a starting point for all of us to vibrate our voice. And if we have a space where we are living right now, wherever we are, that vibrates, that has a resonant tone in it, that is certainly a place to visit, so that we can begin to be in a way saturated with our own, the sound of the voice. And as you very clearly described, it's not a time we can gather in large groups, but for families that are together, this would be a time, maybe we've never sung together as family, this would be a time to begin practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had many people on the show and they talk about when they were, you know, very young and they're normally a little bit older, that they remember still sitting and singing together. And I think, you know, with our media, we have given up a little bit that power to others, to an industry maybe of entertainers, and forgotten sometimes how much joy we can have after dinner just to sit and sing together. So It's going to be wonderful to see if this time brings a renaissance in community singing and family singing. I think that's a great thought. You do chant waves. One of your offerings is that you write chants and that you create these community happenings called chant waves. And I just wanted to, you know, reflect on that. Everyone is longing and yearning and thirsty to understand the mystery. And even the word devotion seems to rhyme with ocean. Let's play. Where does the deep flow of devotion and ocean merge? What does it feel like to be in front and almost like two shores, the audience and Michael Stillwater sitting on stage or being in that circle? You throw something out. They, I'm assuming, sing it back to you until it's one big oceanic experience. I've never had the luck to be in the middle of that ocean, but how do you see that, those sound waves happening, bouncing?
Well, you know, a long time ago, I focused on writing songs and kind of having complex lyrics that would maybe even be hard to understand. I mean, I was into this when I was very young. And I remember once just sitting with an audience and singing my songs, performing songs. And then because I also was practicing yoga at the time, I remembered a yoga chant and I shifted into that. And this is back in the, 1975 or something like that. And just the experience of everyone joining in this simple song and having all of our voices together, and then people finding harmonies and singing these it's simple, but the words of this were of the heart, and they bring mm-hmm. us back to the heart. And so in that, I realized now this is much more fulfilling, actually, than having everyone be intentively listening to what I'm singing in my words, is to being with them and us being together. And actually in that ocean, as you called it, then I, as performer, I fall away into the experience of just we are one being singing. And this is, that was at the beginning of that. And that's what I've been doing all these years since then, is inviting people into what I call an immersion, which is interesting because you use the watery word of ocean. So it is being immersed in the sound, in the song. And that's why chant, which I refer, people say, what's chant? And I say, well, one thing is so much focused on many words, it's having a few words that repeat. And so you get your mind out of the focus on trying to remember words, and you come into the sound and into the heart and into this feeling of having your voice expressed. You can not sing if you want and just be immersed in all the other voices, but to add your voice, you are then resonating your own chamber, your own sound chamber, in the midst of all these other voices. And so the name Chant Wave arose out of that experience for me.
So that was that your turning point? I mean, you're a songwriter. And did you start out as a songwriter or a filmmaker? You do so many wonderful things. You're also a photographer, and I'm assuming a writer. You have also produced and directed and done many documentary films. Did you start out as a songwriter? Are those your roots?
Yeah, my roots, even more than songwriting, it began as guitarist. So mm-hmm. it's guitar has been a central musical thread through my life. And then at the beginning, I would be playing guitar and singing the songs of the day back in the middle 60s. And there were so many great songs then you remember it. I mean, that was the time so much music. And then very, very soon, just after some months of singing these other songs that were so beautiful, I just felt, well, wait, songs are in me. And so I began writing songs then and have never stopped. So, yeah, so songwriting and guitar has been a central part of my expression. And at the same time, there was visual arts and drawing. And so I was very much engaged in illustrating and drawing and all of that while engaged in music. And at the same time was the yoga and the meditation. So the question I had as I was growing up was, well, how does it all fit together? How does mm-hmm. one be in this world with these different impulses and different desires of expression and desire also of returning to the source or coming back through yoga to a meditative state? And how do we do that? How does it all come together? And so that was my question for a long time, and that my life has been the unfolding of how life responds to that question through me. So, you know, we all are finding our way of blending together the different aspects of our life and our passions. And, you know, how do we do that? So how.
You dropped out now for a second.
And I say finally, I mean, there's no final, it continues to fall. But it's with the music at the center and with the songs about coming home to the heart and inviting others to resonate with them if they feel good with that. And then the next step always was inviting others to find their songs. So what is the song in you? And, you know, what does that sound like? So not so much as a singing teacher, I haven't been that, but more of a welcoming space for the creative process. So that's more of what my life has been about.
Beautiful. An invitation, right? Yeah, there's a quote by Socrates, and you know it very well, to know thyself is the beginning of wisdom. It seems like when we sing, we can go into every single nook and cranny of our being, right? I mean, it seems, I'm always fascinated that there is nothing that is left unrevealed if we really use this as a path. What is your experience? Does singing and chanting make us more compassionate beings because we really do dig a little bit deeper, we're a little bit more vulnerable, we can go into those tender moments and we can also feel our resilience and our strength?
I mean, you said that very beautifully. So it's all of that. It's also can be an opening, like an open door or channel to the mysteries of what lives inside of us, the mystery of our being, and how I refer to it as the great song, so that we all have it, to maybe simplify it the way for my mind, I say we have the core song, our core song, which isn't necessarily one song, but it's that the uniqueness of my being and your being and how that expresses, but all of us, all of our unique beings and expression, that core song has a direct conduit, like to the spring, the well of the great song. And so the great song is what's underneath it all. And that has been a part of my life in the last 10 years, together with my wife, Doris, has been creating films to show, to reveal, to celebrate, to just be in that experience of what is the great song and how does it express and how can it express through you or through anyone.
You do have a film out there, correct, called The Great Song, where you traveled around the world in search of exactly that.
That's right. That's right. In search of the great song. And so that was because it's like the feeling was so strong in me and in Doris of like the, it exists. We know it is there, but it's not in the dictionary. We don't see great songs. So how to create a conversation around that and open up the inquiry into that, that idea of what it is. And so it's asking people all over the world, what is the great song for you? And is mm-hmm. it in your religion? Is it in your tradition? Is it in your culture? And, you know, traveling the world, everyone had a response. Everyone, you know, was wanting to come forth, including scientists. So it was indigenous elders, faith leaders, scientists, artists, anyone we asked.
What was the hardest obstacle that you faced when you made that decision to find the great song? Was there any kind of point where you were like, I don't know if this is going to work out, or I don't know if the song is going to basically break apart and fall on the floor? I mean, were there any struggles, or did it just all simply flow and fall into place? All the connections, all the meetings.
Well, it actually. It did, but it had a life of its own. So, mm-hmm. you know, what happens with, I think for many of us, we will have an idea and start on the direction of it. And then, as you say, things come along in the way. But sometimes those things that come in the way, they're not just obstacles. They're actually opportunities for another way to look at it, another variation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what happened with this was the project began in 2009, so that was 11 years ago, and with the first travel, on purpose for this search, was to the Parliament of World Religions in Melbourne, Australia. This is mm-hmm. it's an event that happens every 4 years, and there's like, I don't know if it's 8,000 representatives of religions and the indigenous peoples. And so I was just there asking people all over what it is. But what evolved out of this, I remember very clearly when Dora said, you know, if we're doing this film on the great song, it needs to include music that touches us so deeply. And what would that be? And it came to both of us that this would be the music of Morten Lauritsen, who mm-hmm, I don't know mm-hmm. if you've heard of, but many people have not, and yet many people know his music. He's considered by many the greatest living choral composer. There's other great choral composers, but he's one of the most profound and respected all over the world. And so we contacted him, and he said yes to an interview. So in other words, the idea was just an interview, just some minutes with him and his mm-hmm, music. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful and profound. He was, his words, the way he spoke, and then the music that he composes, that it on its own, it evolved into its own full feature documentary film that then had film festival awards and took years in a way, you could say, as a detour from In Search of the Great Song, but mm-hmm. it was absolutely, essentially part of the Search of the Great Song. And it came to this man who's in touch with the great song and acknowledges that on the inside and shares it with, you know, millions of people all over the world who listen to his music and sing his music in choirs. So what was interesting then, and I know we're approaching a break time soon, so mm-hmm. you let mm-hmm. know when to stop. But what was interesting, so that film is called Shining Night, a portrait of the composer, Morten Lauritsen. And it received all these awards and was very well received as a first offering to the world of our films. And so it was after that that then we said, well, it's time to do the next film, In Search of the Great Song. And that was then released in 2016. So after that, it was like, well, there's a third part of this series. There's a third film, and it's actually very personal. And we'll get to maybe talk about it more a little bit mm-hmm. later, but mm-hmm. it's the name of it is Beyond the Fear of Singing.
Oh, beautiful. We're going to take a little station break and then be back with Michael Stillwater.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio today is the singer-songwriter, filmmaker, educator, and photographer, Michael Stillwater. And we just left off with the fear of singing. So tell us a little bit about that. Many people are very hesitant to sing. I mean, the fear of singing is considered a big fear, just like the fear of death, which I find to be unbelievable, but that is the truth. There are a lot of people that are afraid of simply standing in the middle of the room and singing to their beloved happy birthday by themselves. And what is your experience working with people with their fears about why they're afraid of singing?
Well, it is exactly what you said. It touches the deepest core fear of being isolated and separated from others if our voice is not deemed acceptable. And this happens at an early age, and so it's a childhood, for many people, a childhood trauma that just gets overlaid over time and then actually put into a room sometimes inside of us where we just don't visit it. And we figure it's for other people to sing and not for us. And of course, this applies to forms of creative expression as well. So in my experience of seeing this over and over again, wherever I go, how people would come out to the chanting gathering, but still when it came to being heard by someone else, that was not comfortable, and that was not something they would want. So part of this response I had was creating seminars called Song Sanctuary, for creating, in a way, a safe zone for coming back to your in a way, it's really about loving yourself and through loving your voice. So I'm saying if we can accept one part of us that was not acceptable before, maybe that can open a doorway, a pathway to open up to more of us, to accept who we are on many levels. And that has been the case. So it's as you do in your work, Kara, it's, we know that this is a profound and direct way of meeting people, accessing their vulnerable inner self, and mm-hmm. allowing them to come out as they feel comfortable with it. So part of the reason for creating the film Beyond the Fear of Singing was to show both how universal these fears are, as well as this renaissance of coming out from people's cave into expression. And so the film shows this all over the world, what's happening, of the emerging of voice from this place of fear.
Yeah, I always sense that when I work with clients, when they get their voice back, when they feel that they, I think we all know that place of an open voice. We remember that it's in our bones somewhere. It's in our memory, and when we experience that again, this freedom of expression and this beauty of sound, we just start coming alive, and so many things are integrated. It touches me so deeply because it can happen so fast, where many people, you know, spend years in therapy, and some people spend just one weekend connecting back to their own true voice, and suddenly they're like, everything's okay, everything's good, everything's fine. And it's really magical. Michael, I want to give our audience a taste of your voice and your music. I know that you have a vast amount of, you know, repertoire out there, but I chose today the song Today I Choose. Would you like to say some words about the song that we're going to hear?
Well, yes, if we're playing that song, it opens another conversation, and that is that the whole practice and path of spontaneous song making. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's something that I have, as I mentioned, you know, being a songwriter for years, would spend months to get a song just right, to put the word and the note together so it's exactly how I want it. And then it was one day with a friend just who had some poetry, and just began singing her poems to her without taking any time, just spontaneously. I look at the words and I sing them. And it mm-hmm. went on and on. And then we went to a party and everybody brought their poems to me, and I began singing their poems. And suddenly I thought, well, this is my new life, is singing people's poems. And then I turned to someone and said, you know, you didn't bring a poem. What about your poem? And they said, I don't write poems. And I said, but there's a poem that lives inside you. And then I sang a song to them, which was the poem that I felt in them. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that was my first experience as an adult, because what I realized afterwards is that as children, we are all making up songs all the time. But if you look mm-hmm. around, little children are doing that until we see it strange or funny, or we get funny looks from people and we stop it. But what I realize is this is actually a kind of a hidden doorway back to a very tender and creative and alive part of us. And so for myself, I have been singing these spontaneous songs to people for many, many years and recording them. And then they have the song, but then it's often done in a community setting, a circle, and everyone receives the song. And the song we're about to hear is from one of these circles. And so the song you're about to hear, it's not recorded in a studio. It's just at this at a seminar, and it's in the moment, and it's just in response to the person's request. And I think I don't need to say more about it. You'll hear it in the song.
Beautiful. Let us listen to Today I Choose by Michael Stillwater.
Today I choose to let myself be kinder. Today I choose to love myself. Myself be kinder. Today I choose to love myself. Today I choose to let myself be kinder. Tried it the other way, but I found it didn't satisfy. I tried the other way, but it's no good. I tried the other way, but it left me feeling lonely. I tried the other way as long as I could. Today I choose to let myself be kinder. Myself be kinder. Today I choose to love myself. As I do, my life gets better. Day by day it's a better weather. The sun is shining in my heart right now. As I do, things get better, and I can see that this very weather inside of me is brightening all the time. Today I choose to let myself be kinder.
Would you like to share with us, Michael?
Well, what I love to do is see what happens when people open to their inner song, when it mm-hmm. comes out of them. And and I love making song portraits for people, so I do that. You know, when people want that, creating songs for them. Mm-hmm. But I love to see the process of coming free from the sense of not having a voice and not having a creativity and coming forward with that.
You've created this program that's called Song Sourcing, I believe, which helps other people unleash their own powerful voice and really honor the music that they have that's rattling inside their bones. And why You know, what happens there? Do you already have tracks that are finished, or are you there with the guitar and they're singing on top of it, just like you are now inspired to maybe look in someone's eyes or see someone and feel and sense their story and just sing in that present moment? Are they also digging for their own stories and life stories and putting them into word and melody?
Yes, absolutely. If you have a soundtrack that is very simple and harmonic, and it can fill the room, now we're talking about when we're in that kind of a setting. Mm-hmm. But speak for those who are listening now and not having large group gatherings at this time. Mm-hmm. It's something mm-hmm. that actually you do for yourself. Put on a track. Now, I've created this a series of tracks that are specifically designed for this. Of course, there's many other musics that could be used, but not all music works well for this practice, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. it's to have it repeating, like a repeating harmonic pattern, really helps. And so if anyone is listening and is interested in trying that out, you can just listen to tracks, you know, go to my website and listen to tracks and see if that's something that's good for you. But if you do, or maybe you're a musician and you can create your own tracks, it's the idea is to put it as a background and then pose a question to yourself that allows for a response. And so just on to start singing of to a part of you, for instance, to a part of you that's afraid now, or from a part of you that's afraid, singing out to another part of you that's not afraid. And if you're with other people now in family or with a couple, to do this as a practice of, like you mentioned, the idea of just putting on this music and sitting across from each other and taking turns singing to each other, and then doing the practice of singing together by one person leading and the other one just listening in very closely and adding their voice to them. Or the mirror exercise and just singing back and forth lines and then finding lines that are just so fun and so true that you want to keep singing them. So this is the kind of practice we do in our seminars, but it's absolutely something you can do on your own. And it's a fantastic tool also for bringing forth all of these little pieces that come or can be the building blocks for creating songs. New songs can emerge out of that. And it's a wonderful way to collect. If you begin to record what happens, then you have new segments or pieces of song or little seeds of song come forth through that process.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Michael, we're going to take a very, very short break. I love that idea, song sourcing. We're with Michael Stillwater, and we're going to be back in a few moments.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live right here on Om Times Radio.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
We are here back in the studio with Michael Stillwater, talking about transformational songwriting, talking about overcoming our fear of singing and how powerful it can be to connect our heart with our inner wisdom and bring it forth through our voice. Michael, when we talk, we show up. When we babble, we reveal our own idiosyncrasies and we're authentically vulnerable. And yet sometimes we also feel shaky to be rejected. You're talking about song sourcing, and I was really holding that picture in my mind's eye, how beautiful it would be at this time, as the earth is in a space of deep reflection. Many, many people are at home with their beloveds, with their family, and just sitting across from each other or sitting in a circle. Or if one is alone, then, of course, sitting with their maybe a guitar or instrument or a singing bowl and posing a question and feeling that response, it is sacred. It feels, you know, as if the songs are born from that kind of holy hush moment, that very still, quiet, reflective place. Where do you think songs are born after all your travels and after so many groups and teachings? Where is a song born? Why is a song born?
Well, the song is born because it's basically what we are. I mean, that's what we are. And so it's like, you know, if you think of it, the wave in the ocean or from the river of song, we flow. We are alive in that vibration, as you know so well. And so how the song, the way it uniquely forms is always going to be an amazing composition or composite of all that we have in our lives, in our mind, in our heart, in our senses. And it weaves together into that song of that moment. But that song emerges itself is because this is what we are. What's one of the songs we sing is "We Are the Song." So it's that's what we are.
Well, and, I mean, the science is coming more and more. It's becoming evident that we are literally not only made up so much of water that can be programmed, but literally every part of our brain lights up when we're singing and all our cells are dancing. And I'm sure at this time, there's nothing better to boost our immune systems and stay in flow than a singing practice.
Exactly. And so it's, you could say ironic because so many of our, and gathering groups together around the world are at this moment unable to do that because of, mm-hmm. of the situation. So it's such a, shall we say, such an opportunity to do exactly what you said, is to go to that quiet center and see what the song is that emerges now. And the name that has come to me for the work that I share now is Song Life, because it is, song life is just, it's integrated. It's our whole life. It is song. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. After a lifetime of finding the blessing and the benefit that I experience in being in the music and in the song and sharing it, I have begun just this past year with, for the first time, offering a training for people on a musical path who want to deepen their experience as a songwriter, as a musician, that's part of their integrated completely into their life of spirit and soul, and you know, that it just and service and how to sharing it mm-hmm. with others, mm-hmm. it can be supportive. So and in fact, just realizing it's time now to do not just a gathering in a beautiful natural setting, but online to share this. So that'll be something. If anyone interested in that, they can certainly contact me for more on that. And to see the films, you know, you can watch them in your home. Don't need to go into a movie theater. So the films are there, the song sourcing tracks, if that's supporting for those who aren't creating your own tracks of music, to get the idea even for those who do create music, listen to some of these tracks and you'll get it. I mean, it's so simple. That's the thing, as you have already said, Cara, this singing practice is so simple and yet mm-hmm. so profoundly effective. And as you said, it can bypass all these other things that we might do that can take years to come back home to ourselves. And so this is just another, what I offer is just another facet of our dimension of this experience that is universal, that everyone has it inside of them already. So this, you know, this idea of having the tracks to support you, seeing a film that is just saying what you already know, but it's just done
it's a beautiful reminder. I think, you know, I've read many books where I'm like, oh, actually I know that, and yet it's so comforting to know that we know. I mean, number one, right? Just to sit and see films or read books and say, it's true. It's true. I know that, and I forgot to practice that. Or, you know, we all have our phases with, you know, certain music or certain mantras, or maybe, well, in German we have Bachblüten, and you know, we have phases, and yet then somebody says, oh, I'm drinking hot lemon water at the moment. And you're like, oh, it's true. I used to do that, and it's so beautiful to be reminded, right? Somebody else is like, I'm drinking ginger water. You're like, what's true? I need to. It's beautiful. I think as a community, you know, and that's the power of voice, is what I'm always saying to people. But voice connects us back to ourselves. But the most amazing thing is voice connects us also to each other. And in these moments, we realize that there's nothing more beautiful than the resonance between like-minded hearts and voices and souls sharing with each other their wisdom and listening to others, right, for what we can learn. And so, Michael, I mean, this show is all about the transformational power of voice, and it's all about the many layers of voice work, which I think you live so beautifully, because it's all coming from, you know, not only what people think is singing a nice song, but the writing voice, the inner voice work, which you have through meditation and our inner guides, which are our voices, are the voice of our dreams, you know, our visions, taking small ideas and then giving them a voice, projecting in projects, projecting things out into the world, and then seeing the fruits there for everybody as I'm sure your films, for example, and your albums, they started with one small little idea in your head, a little voice that said, Michael, it's time to create something. And then it has a life of its own. So if you had one little golden nugget to give our community and listening audience about the importance of finding your unique and true voice, what would that be?
Well, it's something, this unique and true voice is something that we can never be apart from. It's, mm-hmm. And in fact, it's calling us back. It's calling us. And so it's not a matter of kind of desperately searching for it. Like, what is my unique voice? Mm-hmm. It's here calling to us. Maybe not through sound. Maybe this voice is calling to us in other ways, but it's, mm-hmm. We could also say it's patiently waiting for us to turn to it and honor it and give it give it room to breathe and give it space. And and when we do, like you said, it's not only will be fulfilling for us, but it's a means of making connection with those around us that we are close to. And there's so much shame and embarrassment around our, particularly around our singing voices, for so many people, that just the one step of overcoming that, of letting our voice be heard by someone, is such a major, it can be such a major breakthrough in someone's expressive life on this planet. And so I just encourage whoever's listening now to, however you can, to be willing to, well, let's put it this way. It may be something when you listen, you say, oh my God, nice for them to talk about. That's what they do. They're musicians. You know, they sing so easily. But for you just to recognize your voice has been with you from the beginning. It will be with you till the end. And making friends with it before you leave this world might be a nice thing to do.
Yeah. And everybody has a signature. I've started the practice of recording dear friends of mine, you know, asking them great questions and recording them. And sometimes if they do pass to the other side, it's so magical to have that voice, because it's like handwriting. It's the same. It's just, you know, it's from that person. And I think people forget that the voice lives on forever and ever and ever. You hear a voice, you know, we have it with artists, but also our dear friends. We have that possibility now, which we didn't have 50 years ago, of every single person can record their voice on audio memo and send it and share their voice.
It reminds me of a project that began 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, to record the voices of great, beautiful souls, people who are spiritually very deep, like Ram Dass and Thich Nhat Hanh, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Mm-hmm. And we asked them the question, if you had a few moments with someone who is dying, what would you say? And we recorded these voices, many voices, and then set them to music like a soundtrack of a film. And that became a piece called Graceful Passages that is still available now. It's the music of Gary Malkin, who is a film composer, and with the voices of people, Thich Nhat Hanh and Rabbi Zalman Schachter and people from all different faiths, and where the voice is not only speaking to us about dying, the voices are speaking to us about living, about being present in the moment and opening the heart. And so that is exactly the space to be in right now.
and what do you think? We are in a pandemic where many people are afraid, and yet many people that I know, they sense this time of reflection, this time that perhaps the earth needs, that it's going to, not only will it pass, but there's something very powerful and magical that is happening in the earth being able to regenerate, people connecting back to what is important for them, maybe becoming aware also of their own mortality and that time is precious and beautiful. And do you think that using our voice, we can change the narrative to be use our voice not only to sing, but maybe to be more conscious of which words we are putting out there during this time?
That's beautiful what you say. I'm reminded that one of the interviews in Search of the Great Song was the great cellist Michael Fitzpatrick. And in the interview, he touches the planet very deeply at different times. I mean, it's always there, but it really touches the planet. And he was saying in the 60s, the Great Song came through in such a powerful way, and we felt that. He says, and the whole world, and this was spoken some years ago, he says, the whole world is waiting for the Great Song to express, to hit the planet again. And we don't know what it'll sound like. But I'm feeling that what you just said is connected to this, that during this time, that the great song has been waiting to be heard, and everybody's so busy in our, you know, we're all so busy in our minds doing, and now is an opportunity, you know, when we take the moment away from being fearful about it, to listen in to what is the great song saying to us, singing to us right now.
Yeah, yeah. What are the trees saying? What is the ocean saying? And the amazing thing is, in all this, in all this pain, people are leaving their windows open so that you hear the singing. People are going to the balconies, at least in Berlin, 6 p.m. People are walking to the balconies. In Italy, people are going out onto the balconies, singing together, singing for each other, creating music together. It's incredibly moving.
That's right. Yeah. The canals of Venice are clearing, and the fish are there, and the dolphins are coming in. I mean, and the sky, without the planes, there's not this soot coming down on us. I mean, there are things happening that are, that's not what's in the newspaper. It's more about the difficulties and the economy and the suffering.
Yes.
It's all happening.
Yes.
But good things are happening, too.
Good things are happening. Let's keep the vibrations very high. And as I like to say, shift harm to harmony through singing, through our voice. Michael Stillwater, it was great that you're with us. Everybody out there, check out his work. InnerHarmony, I believe, .com.
Yes, there's songlife.org also goes right to the movies.
Great. Songlife.org. Watch his movies. Connect with him. Support his work. He's doing great things for humanity. And I thank you, Michael, so much for being with me on the show today.
Thank you, Cara.